It is. Thank you, 602. This is September 13th meeting of Laws and Rules and Government Services Committee. Clerk Mahler, would you like to take attendance, please?
Absolutely. Chairwoman Bartels?
Present.
Deputy Chair Roberts?
Present.
Legislator Gavaris?
Present.
Legislator Heppner? Present. And Legislator Ronk?
Present.
You have four members present, zero absent.
Great. Thank you. I will entertain a motion for approval of the minutes of the August 17th regular meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Great. Any comments, questions, concerns? Okay. On the acceptance of the approval of the minutes, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Okay, well, we'll move into resolutions. Resolution number 374, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 6 of 2021, a local law repealing local law number 2 of 2013, and establishing the Ulster County School-Based Mental Health and Safety Act of 2021 to be held on Tuesday, October 19th, 2021 at 7 p.m.
I'll move it for discussion.
Thank you, Legislator Runk. Seconded by Legislator Heppner. I just want to acknowledge that the sponsor, Legislator Parity, is here. Before I take your questions and comments, Legislator Ronk, let me give Legislator Parity the floor if he would like to open. Thank you.
All right, Madam Chair, thank you. Thank you for the time, members of the committee. You know, I'm here to advocate for 374. As was pointed out, this resolution was presented first in 2013. A school-based, it's a cooperative between the County of Ulster and the school districts in Ulster County. It passed, it was signed into law. Some of the folks who were involved back then at the different levels are not quite as sensitive to the mental health issues as they are today. And as my time finishes up, I wanted to bring this back up again, because in the ensuing almost 9 years, I've seen nothing but heartache and depression and addiction. And you know, we have the same constituents as the schools do. The difference is, at least in my own case, I'm here as an advocate for, you know, things that are beneficial and good for my constituents, for a good life, an affordable life, so they can go on about their business and chat with us on. And you know, I realize why I can't hear now. I forgot to plug this in. I'm sorry about that.
I'm sorry to butt in. I have to depart. Duty calls. Okay. If I'm back, I'll
well,
back
stay on. Healthy out there, Legislator Ronk. What was I saying now? And the school districts are in a business. They're in a business to educate schools, hopefully at least with reading, writing, and arithmetic. But it's a business. It's the same constituency, but not necessarily the same agenda. And in the ensuing 9 years, I've seen, and I believe all of you have, there's been a terrible, terrible epidemic of depression and addiction. And I feel that a discussion between the two constituencies is important. If I may say this, Ms. Madam Chair, I hope this passes, but in essence, this is a resolution that can set the table. Remember, it was passed in 2013 and one third or two thirds of the folks really didn't want to deal with it. This sets the table for the legislature and its appointed chair, elected chair, the executive and the school people to sit in a room and say, what are we going to do? Can we help? I think this resolution shows that if it's passed, that the county is deadly serious about trying to work with what I consider our infrastructure. Starting with the schools, these youngsters are our infrastructure. Yep, they're not bridges, but we wouldn't need bridges if we didn't have these youngsters and their parents. And I think it's vitally important that we do understand that anything in the negotiations, as if and when this goes down the road, would have to be brought back to the legislature, as it would have to be brought back to the school board members. So, I was rather disheartened when everybody knows my son Robbie authored this thing and thought it up deep and hard and didn't quite work out. But today we have a different climate, different players. And I think the urgency is recognized that something has to be done. Again, I'll repeat, it has to be brought back, whatever the negotiations came up with. But to be able to leverage your expenses, to be able to leverage the support in this case is unique and long overdue. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have, Madam Chair, or whatever you'd like me to stop or whatever.
Yeah, what I'd like to do, thank you, Legislator Parity, is open the floor to the committee members to ask questions. If anyone has any questions, I saw that Legislator Ronk had a question, but unfortunately he had to go or comment. So is anyone who's currently still here? Does anyone have a question or a comment? Legislator Heppner?
Yes, through the chair to Legislator Parity. I definitely obviously understand the really laudable goals of this. Has there been any, you were there when, but I wasn't when this first came around, when Rob introduced it, with this new version that's replacing this current version, was there any dialogue with the school boards prior to its introduction?
You mean right now?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I do know a number of people on school boards who are interested. This is being sent out to them as we speak, in the hope that it will at least move forward to a public hearing. I'm trying to be as positive as I can, but I have the documentation from when this came up last night and copies of the letters of support from a local school board member, local meeting Kingston. But the letter we got, that Rob got, was on the advice of council. We're not going to participate. Legislator Ronk was here back then, and the Right Honorable Minority Leader didn't vote for it, but he said he was disappointed the schools wouldn't even participate in a questionnaire. And when I read it, when it says on the advice of council, now, I like from council to get their opinion on whether it's legal, whether it's not legal, and quote the sections where we can't do it. I like to get my advice after learning and talking to learned people, what they think, and it never got that far. And it's been shut down for these years, and I think the flavor of the air is now important to bring it up, have a conversation. I'm sorry. Did I?
No, we can still hear you.
Oh, I didn't know if I spoke over somebody.
No, fine.
I think the key thing is this is not going to be, even if it passes, it's not going to be done tomorrow and implemented that quickly. This is far too complicated, far too important. And I think the flavor of the legislature is very sensitive to this issue, and it's a huge step in a direction of the diverse members of the legislature saying, yes, we recognize something has to be done or attempted to be done.
Anyone else have a comment? Legislator Gavaris.
Thank you. So through the chair to Legislator Parity. So two things. One, I agree 100% with what you said, that something has to be done. My second part is, and this is my issue every time we do something related to the school districts, is the school districts are not the same constituency as the legislative districts, as the county itself. I know any of the bordering townships, we share students with neighboring counties. A good portion of the students from Ellenville School District come from Sullivan County. I cannot in good conscience use Ulster County taxpayer funds to pay for something for out of county students. I think this is something that should be done, but not through the schools. I think overall mental health should be improved and do it separate of the school, because it sounds like the school district, every time I've done anything with them, they have all kinds of rules and regs through state ed of things they can and cannot do. And it seems like they have more things that they can't do than they actually can do. So the goal, I understand, and I share your thoughts on this, I'm willing to move forward in that direction, but I just can't do it through the school districts.
Could I respond to that?
You may.
I get where you're coming from, but you know, I have, I'm not a big believer in lines that are drawn that you can't cross without consequences. I know there's people in the mountains that don't want folks coming up here, let's say, to play in their recreation parks, but they don't mind going to Kingston to work. I don't know what the numbers are you're talking about, but I would say 80 or 90% of the students in Ulster County that go to Ulster County-based schools are probably from Ulster County. And I think it has to transgress those areas. And I mean, I guess, quite frankly, you could talk about some of up here where there's very few kids. A lot of open area, and they may be paying for far more than their constituency. But that's life in a democracy. And I hope you wouldn't at this point hold that against moving forward with this.
Legislator Roberts, did you want to make a comment?
Yeah, I'll make one comment. Through you, Tracy, to the legislator Parity. Though, Walk Hill, as you know, Tracy, has part of Orange County, town of Newburgh in it. They're Orange County residents, but when they're in a Walk Hill school district, they're under our jurisdiction. So I don't know if that argument, I get where John is coming from, but, you know, they're still in Ulster County school system. I don't know if this law is going anywhere, John. It's very complex. It needs a lot of people to come together. But I don't have a problem setting a public hearing and maybe getting the school districts involved and starting a conversation. I don't know if it's our role to be involved or how we can be involved. It didn't seem like they wanted us to help them out last time. I don't know if that's going to happen again this time, but you know, why don't we have the public hearing and see what everybody has to say about it.
And Madam Chair, if I might, this resolution has been amended in one of the other committees, and I'm asking you to vote on the amended version, which talks about the resource officers.
So that's, if I can just take a moment and then I'll open it as well. So one of my concerns, Legislator Parity, so I hear your concerns, Legislator Gavaris, and I definitely would want to contemplate that further. And with the numbers, I'd want to have a sense of how many out of county students we were talking about. But like Legislator Roberts, you know, I think ultimately I would be open. If there were a way to work with the schools to get buy-in, I would be open to administering a program to any students who were in Ulster County jurisdiction, regardless of where they came from. My bigger concern right now is that I'm just not sure it's ready for a public hearing. I would feel much more comfortable if there had been a certain amount of work done to bring in the school districts prior to the public hearing, because we know that it depends on the issue, but people don't always come out for the public hearings. I also really believe that this resolution, and this is kind of where I think our role in laws and rules is, I think this resolution properly should have gone to law enforcement because of the school resource officer component. My understanding is it only went to health. Is that correct so far, Legislator Parity?
I believe so.
Yeah. So I would like to see, I would like to make the suggestion that it go to law enforcement before coming, before a public hearing, just to get the weigh-in of that committee and the sheriff's office. Because, and I'm trying to understand it better, maybe you can help me. Does this law compel that you must have a school resource officer?
No, and it's been amended out anyway.
You mean it's been amended to remove the school resource officers?
Yes.
The amendment is in your packet. Only the amended version appears in your packet, and it includes multiple staff members as well as school resource
officers.
As a possible staff that they could use the funding for, also psychiatrists, it says clinicians, psychiatrists, counselors, mental health, nurse practitioners, and school resource officers.
It says
additional staff, including but not limited to, is how right. It.
Okay. Legislator Heppner?
Yeah, my understanding is regarding the SRO officers that it just struck out the language pertaining specifically to the Ulster County Sheriff. So that way it could potentially be an SRO officer that's the state police or the county sheriff, is the way I interpreted that amendment. Also, in addition to not going to law enforcement, one of my concerns as well is that we're talking about allocating, was it 2.75%? And it might've been an oversight, but I'm confused why this wouldn't have gone before Ways and Means, when we're talking about a significant amount of over 3 million plus in revenue. I believe that should be a place for them to have that discussion, just in terms of, you know, as Legislator Bartel said, that looking at the technical aspects of this bill, which is our duty in law enforcement, because Legislator Parity, I just want, the problem with going right to a public hearing is if we're talking about what might have been those oversights and not having the proper oversight of the committee process, but also the, you know, potential input from the school districts, we could have a public hearing, but there could be what I'm guessing what could easily be defined as a substantial change in this legislation in order for it to move forward, in which we would actually then be adding more time to, we'd be taking more time away from the ability to move forward by having to then go back and restart that process rather than, you know, get this legislation in a stronger place, addressing the concerns of different members of the legislature, before going to a public hearing in a more final form.
Can I ask for a point of clarification from the clerk? If it were to pass tonight, would it be on Ways and Means agenda tomorrow?
That's correct.
Okay, so we would Ways and Means would get to see prior to session, but again, just being as a sitting member on Ways and Means, it's a lot. Changing hats for a moment. That meeting is, you know, an hour before session. So it's a lot to take in terms of having a real bona fide discussion about the fiscal impact of that, even if that's the angle that Ways and Means is coming at it from. So, Legislator Parity?
Yeah, I just like to say again, that this legislation is much like conflicting parties or different constituencies coming to a table. This authorizes the setting of a table where all of these issues can be vetted. They all could have been vetted all along, but there's never been an impetus to vet these things and talk about it. Anything that would have to be developed has to come back to the legislature.
Legislator Heppner?
Yeah, and that's my, there's no reason why that these processes and discussions can't happen prior to having a special public hearing. Because as you know, if anything substantial comes out of that, then we're just starting this whole process over again.
Yes, and if I could just follow on, I mean, in terms of, so the as I best understand it, the next step would be the public hearing, but then the way it would come back to the legislature is for passage of the law as written, as presented in the public hearing. And in that case, the law does authorize, but it also requires the disbursement of not less than 2.25% of the sales tax. So that while that would create the table to sit at, the disbursement is a necessity in the way that the way that I read the law, the disbursement is a necessity. So upon passage of the law, not less than 2.25% of the sales tax would be directed toward this program. And then they'd have to figure out, the administration and who's opting in, I'm assuming, and et cetera. But I, having gone through the 2013, I agree with the motivation, and it may even be that this is the implementation. I mean, I remember very well, I sat next to the other legislator parity, one of the other legislator parities at that time, and we talked about this quite a bit. And I know that legislator Robert Parity was, I don't want to speak for, but disappointed that the law didn't get passed in the form that that really would have had the most meaningful impact. And those debates were acutely felt, and the compromise, I understand why you have to do that sometimes. And I understood at the time why the compromise needs to be made. But I also remember the fierce debate from the members of the various school boards and the superintendents and the feedback on that. And I really strongly suggest that some of that conversation happens in advance of at least the first public hearing, for the reason that Legislator Heppner said, that if there's going to be changes, it'll actually slow it up more if we go to public hearing and then have to come back all the way through the cycle. But for me, my most technical concern is that it go to law enforcement in order to have the discussion about the SRO, even though I feel much less, I feel much less concerned about it now that it has been amended to not be strictly the SRO component. So again, I'm interested in what the rest of the committee and other legislators who are on the line, if anyone else would like to chime in on their thoughts. I know you're on phone calls, but if you'd like to speak, please feel free to join the conversation. Legislator Heppner?
Yeah, I believe through you, Chair Bartels, to Legislator Uchitel, who's on the Public Health Committee. And I'm trying, did you say, discussing this in caucus, that a letter went out from the health committee to the different superintendents and school boards asking for input?
Yes, if I may.
Yes, absolutely.
Chair Bartels, yep. So that's correct. So after the last public health committee meeting, I worked with, I asked Nettie and Vicky to work together to get a letter put together just so that we could make sure that the superintendents were aware. We didn't put the date in because we weren't sure if it was gonna, remain on the 19th as it went through the committee process, but we wanted to give them a heads up. And I know, and I haven't read the email yet, but I know that I got an email regarding this from Nettie this afternoon. And I believe the attached letter and proposed local law have been now sent to all superintendents. So that's my understanding, that they've all been sent this letter.
May I was it sent to the school boards? You know, they're the policy making people. The superintendents are the folks that oftentimes decide whether they want to do it or not do it.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I believe the answer is that they have not. My hope was that the superintendents would distribute it to their school board members. My plan personally was to, after I know it's gone sent out, to contact my school board members and see if they are aware of it and kind of use that to gauge it just for my own board. But I believe that it did just only go to the superintendents.
Okay, thank you.
You're on mute, Chair Bartosz.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I'm seeing a nod from Clerk Mahler. Does that mean yes, it only went to superintendents?
That is correct. I mean, we're happy to forward it to the school board presidents tomorrow for their information, if that would please the committee and the health committee by way of legislator Uchitel and sponsor Parity.
For clarification, can I also ask, did that the letter that went out, because I didn't see an email from Nettie, did the letter that went out include a date for a public hearing, or was it just?
It did not. It said that this is currently under consideration by the legislative body and that you would keep the superintendents appraised of any public hearing that may be scheduled or any developments as it moves through the process. And we contacted them by email, so we thought we would be able to, Vicki thought it would be a rapid fire way to shoot them quick updates. However you want to manage that communication, and we can make sure to include the board presidents as well.
Okay. Does anyone else have any other comments? Okay, Legislator Heppner.
Yeah, just through the chair, so Legislator Parity, from hearing, you know, our concerns, but also what I think is, you know, a unified understanding of the intent and the purpose behind what this effort is. Do you have a strong opposition to engaging in this dialogue prior to a public hearing and going through the process that way, also allowing for adequate discussion amongst Ways and Means regarding the significant financial aspect? But if we were to postpone it for a month and allow that to go through, so then, you know, if there was a public hearing, it would be on what would more likely be an adapted piece of legislation.
You're asking me, correct?
Yes.
I have no problem with that, legislator. I just philosophically, one of the things I tell folks is in the long run, we're all dead. So to do it right, I have no problem with it. My time is winding down, and it's either have to do it right, and then hopefully with the outcome, there'll be an outcome, or not. So I have no problem with that. But as I said, in the long run, we're all dead. I don't want to see it drag out forever.
Understandable. If the committee's willing, I'd make a motion to postpone.
Do I have a second?
I would love it if you would amend it first.
Oh yeah, we can do that, of course. So I'll make a motion first to amend as reflected in the packet.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All those in favor of the amendment?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Passes unanimously. Legislator Heppner?
Oh, no, I was just voting. Oh, then I'll make a motion to postpone now.
Okay. Is there a second for the postponement?
Second,
Legislator Gavaris. I'd like to just say on the postponement, if everyone actually could please look at the legislation closely and reach out directly to Legislator Parity with any questions, comments, or concerns, including the ones raised today, just so that Legislator Parity has the benefit and the respect of having all those concerns in advance of next month. And then Legislator Parity, I don't know if you want to speak to the clerk potentially about bringing it to law enforcement whether in a formal or an informal way, just to have the discussion as it relates to the SRO, even though it's just one aspect of it. You may, now that it is not a requirement, a de facto requirement, you may just want to go to that committee to discuss the SRO aspect of it.
I have no problem getting as much broad-based information out there as I can. You know, we're going to either win, lose, or draw on the thing with the legislature. And if I might just say, the more information is generally better. Yes. We've all probably been convinced one way or another based on the information we get. And I'd like to say this, if I may, especially when it comes to some of the folks involved in the decision-making on the school boards. If this thing comes out in a fashion that says Ulster County Legislature stands with you to try to help prevent these depression and addiction catastrophes, we may be able to change their mind from what they're thinking today versus if they can deep six the entire thing before it gets started and then everybody goes about their business. So I thank you for postponing it. I'm not reluctant to go anywhere to chat with anybody about it, Madam Chair, and we'll go from there.
Thank you. And we will, Clerk Mahler will make sure that the letter now goes out to the school boards as well, school board presidents, for distribution to their members. Deputy Executive Ryder, did you have your hand up before we call the vote?
I just have a quick technical question on your rules. Will it ever make it to Ways and Means if it doesn't pass this committee?
Will it? Is being directed to Ways and Means. That was a technical error. It was always meant to go to Health, Laws and Rules, of course, and Ways and Means because of the financial, the substantial financial component.
Gotcha. I thought it didn't go to Ways and Means until it passes the committee of jurisdiction. So,
well, I do believe that Ways and Means is one of the committees of jurisdiction because of the financial component. So I think it's worthy of discussion in Ways and Means from that aspect too, to Legislator Parity's point that, you know, there is not too much information that we can gather. So I think hearing from those committee members would be valuable as well. And from that point, because we're certainly not discussing that angle in this committee. Okay, so on the postponement, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, that passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Legislator Parity. Thank you for taking the time and thank you for being so amenable.
And you all, thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Thank you. Resolution number 376, authorizing the termination of a lease agreement with CPR Kingston LLC Bank for space used by the Board of Elections. Entertain a motion.
Make a motion to postpone it to next month.
Okay, a motion to postpone.
I'll second that.
Made by Legislator Guevara, seconded by Legislator Heppner on the postponement. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. Resolution number 404, authorizing the chair of Ulster County Legislature to execute an early voting expansion grant program agreement with New York State Board of Elections, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget, Ulster County Board of Elections. We have both commissioners joining us here today on the telephone. Thank you both for being here. And perhaps I can turn it over to the two of you first, just to discuss. Oh, thank you, Legislator Heppner.
Seconded
by Legislator Guevara. Commissioners Quigley and Dittus.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, so we have two grants that are coming in. These are state grants. The first is our early voting expansion, a little over $25,000. That's being applied to our lease for our poll pad connectivity, which is about $27,000. So it almost covers the entirety of the connectivity contract that we have with NOINC. So that's great. The larger grant, the $196,000 and change, that is a technology infrastructure grant that we're going to be applying towards upgrades to our new facility for security upgrades. So badge access to counting rooms, security cameras, which we need to cover the voting systems and the perimeter of the building, connectivity for our wireless connections for the poll pads. And also we're looking to upgrade our voting systems, starting looking at that as a next year project. So that grant is a little bit longer. It doesn't get exhausted until 2023. So we're looking to use some of that money to offset upgrades to voting systems. I don't know if John, you want to add anything to that, but another shout out to our great deputies who work on our grants and did another great job doing all the paperwork and all of us putting our heads together and putting together a good plan, and for the state for really, you know, putting their investments behind the county boards to revitalize all of our elections, not just these two grants, but the last couple of times we've seen you, it's been very helpful to us.
I would just emphasize that the first grant will be covering what's an annual cost. So we're, and we budget for it. So we're going to be taking that savings out of our budget. And hopefully, I think it's been stressed at least long and hard by the Election Commissioners Association to the state that early voting costs continue to be picked up by the state as these are additional costs that we are incurring. So I would like to say we're hopeful that these grants will continue into the coming years, but we do budget and prepare in the scenario that they decide not to renew those fundings for us every year. In addition, this technology infrastructure grant happens to come at a perfect timing where we are making the move to a new facility, so we will be able to cover costs of the move to the new facility. Without that move, I can't say that we would actually have something to spend this grant on at the moment, because we are so well equipped and thankful to have the support of our county legislature to be in the position that we're in now. And yes, we will begin to look at upgrading our election voting machines. That will be a long and thoughtful process that we'll be coming back to you guys about at a later date. But this will begin to chew into some of that cost.
Thank you. Thank you both. Do we have any questions on resolution 404? Okay. All those in favor of resolution 404? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes unanimously. We've covered some of this in the discussion, but we'll move on to resolution 405, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute an agreement with the New York State Board of Elections for the Technology Innovation and Election Resource Grant Program, amending the 2021 Ulster County budget, Ulster County Board of Elections. Comments or questions? Okay, all those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great, so passes unanimously. Before the commissioners get off the line, maybe if we could just take one moment. I just wanted to get a brief update, since it was something that we were very involved in last cycle and we're heading into the election cycle, just see if we could get an update from the commissioners on comp time in preparation for the upcoming election.
Yeah, so right now, a majority of the staff have less than 10 hours of comp time going into the election season. We do have two members of the staff that have about 30 hours, but they're going to be taking a couple of days before October. So while we hit the real hard parts of the election cycle, everybody will be down to essentially a zero balance, a couple hours here and there, but everybody is at a manageable number right now. And I don't expect scenarios like we saw last year. We're not seeing the influx of absentee applications, registration forms. It is a local year with not a lot going on countywide. We don't have any races until we get to legislative races. So there's not a lot for our voters to engage with on the ballot. Therefore, we're not seeing it on our end at the office. So, and barring a close election where we're doing recounts and we have any potential lawsuits, I think we'll be good for the rest of the year. But I can't predict what will happen on election night. So I leave that always as an asterisk to, we'll see what we deal with after the results come out.
And I would just add that with comp time being watched a bit more closely, we're also in a position should the demand for absentee voting or any other sorts that we're going to be able to use part-time help and whatever, et cetera, that we need, any of the sources, resources we have at our fingertips to keep things so minimal this year.
Thanks. Yeah, John and I have worked together throughout the year on some staggered scheduling, so we don't have the full staff in for the hours that we're required to stay open, and the staff likes it, we like it. It's it hasn't diminished the services that we provide. It has, though, been an easier way to manage the office.
Thank you both for being proactive about this, and even though it is not necessarily as big of an election year, at least it'll give us a sense of where we're at heading into year's election. So we appreciate your being proactive and getting the comp hours down in advance of the election, because there is always that asterisk and that unknown. Okay, thank you both for being here, and moving on. We will move on to number five, late resolution number 432. Amending the 2021 Ulster County budget to accept public health emergency preparedness funding from New York State Department of Health for the Epidemiology and Laboratory Capacity School Reopening Grant and creating position Department of Health. I'll entertain a motion to discuss.
Motion.
Okay, Legislator Guevara, seconded by Legislator Roberts. Deputy Executive Ryder, can I hand the floor over to you to give a little background?
Sure. So we've gotten quite a few of these ELC grants. That's the way that the federal government basically sends money to the state, and then the state health department sends money to the LHDs, the local health department. This is a $4 million grant that will help us assist the school districts in doing screening testing for both unvaccinated teachers, vaccinated teachers that opt in, and students who opt in with parental consent. A large part of this grant is going to be going towards buying the actual Binex Now test kits. We anticipate doing about 200,000 tests over the next 10 months. And so that's roughly half of the grant, and then we have an RFQ out now picking the vendors, but we've had conversations with some vendors like Village Apothecary, Institute for Family Health, and others who are going to actually be doing the testing in the schools. We hope to not have to use AccuCare contract nurses for any of the districts at this point. We are, though, because there's a lot of moving pieces in this, we're also creating a position who will be kind of coordinating and making sure that the schools are getting what they need, that we're sending the resources to the right areas, that we have enough tests and everything.
Any questions on the resolution? Seeing none, I'm just going to ask a question. Mark, is it expected that this grant will fully cover the tests across all the school districts, or does that depend on how many opt in terms of the parents?
No, we anticipate that this will cover the 10 months that this will cover. This will definitely cover all 9 school districts. We're doing this also the Center for Spectrum Services, a couple of the other private schools have reached out because they also are under the same state mandate to test their unvaccinated teachers. So we anticipate that this will last us the 10 months. I mean, 200,000 is quite a few tests, and we've budgeted to be able to gather that much. You know, we'll be right there. We're also getting some tests from the New York State Health Department outside of this grant in order to use for schools. So I think we'll be right there. And all of the vendors I've spoken to understand that the money is expected to last the 10-month period.
Do we know yet how many unvaccinated teachers there are, just the number of that in the county?
No, the districts are still gathering that information. I would say most of the districts have 200 or less. And sorry, my dog just decided to join me. So most of the districts have 200 or less teachers that are unvaccinated. I know Kingston's going to have a little bit more than that because they have more between teachers and staff. They actually have more employees than Ulster County. They have about 1,400 employees. So I know they're going to probably be closer to the 300-400 range. But most have been the numbers that I've seen back are 200 or less. Some vaccinated teachers are also opting in, and that's part of that 200 or so weekly test that we'll be doing.
And that's, so I was just going to ask, so that's weekly for the teachers that opt in and mandatory for the unvaccinated teachers, but also all students have the option with parental consent of opting in to weekly tests.
Correct. And I did talk with Village Apothecary. I had a conversation with today, and he's going to actually be bringing, Neil is going to be bringing vaccines to each school district that they test to have available there for the teachers who, you know, want to stop getting tested on a weekly basis.
Okay. And even with, I mean, how many students are we estimating are going to opt in order to make the assumption that the 4 million is going to last?
I don't anticipate that a lot of students are going to opt in. We have put out sort of, you know, in the springtime, I think that we were gathering information on testing, doing screening testing, and there was not a lot of opt-in from parents. So I'm basing it off of like a 15 to 20% opt-in rate. We have 22,000, and that would be not a week. We likely wouldn't test all the students who's opted in on a weekly basis. It would be more like regular intervals, either biweekly or monthly. There's 22,000 students in Ulster County. Okay. So let's say 20% of them opt in, you're looking at about 5,000. If we tested them every month, that's 50,000.
And that option is up to us, whether we do it monthly or biweekly or weekly?
Right. There is no requirement that we offer weekly testing. The requirement is that we offer regular testing.
Oh, okay.
So it's really up to the districts. We're here in a support role for the districts. We're not dictating to them what they have to do. We're leaving it up to them to determine, you know, they have to offer this regular testing to students and unvaccinated staff are mandated to do weekly. They are also required to offer testing to vaccinated teachers, but it's not, the requirement isn't weekly at that point.
Okay. All right. Does anyone else have any questions on resolution number 432? Legislator Gavaris.
The question to Deputy Secretary Ryder, if I may. To the 200,000 tests, is that we're pre-purchasing them or?
Yes. Well, we have a large PO in directly to Abbott that's on back order currently, but we're not purchasing all 200,000 at that time. We're then going to kind of evaluate where we're at, what we're getting from the state health department, and if we need to make another large purchase, we will.
Okay, good, because I was just concerned that with the two new variants, there's talk now of schools may not be open, so. That's why I just want to make sure we're purchasing something that's going to sit now on a shelf because we can't use it. So,
I guarantee you they won't. I mean, they won't go to waste.
Any other questions? Okay, on the resolution, resolution 432, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. All right, thank you very much, Deputy Executive Ryder. All right, we have on the agenda, as we are now doing monthly, resolution number 395, which is setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 7 of 2021, a local law amending the code of the County of Ulster in relation to evictions, to be held on Tuesday, October 19th at 7:05. This was postponed in economic development. So we're not voting on it today, but I would again ask and encourage that members read through the resolution. And I'd like to, if you'd like to, Legislator Uchtdahl, I'd like to give you the floor if you want to speak for a couple moments, just to start familiarizing our members with your legislation.
Thank you, Chairwoman Bartels. I really appreciate it. And to the members of the Laws and Rules Committee, I've already had a couple of very productive conversations, I felt, with a few members of the larger body. There are already some amendments to the current form of the draft that will be made. I think my intention is to make them at the economic development, even though I, you know, could potentially propose them tonight. There's a couple of pieces of language that I want to remove, largely because I want to make sure that this isn't effectively punitive towards landlords. I think the eviction moratorium has been very, very, very hard on landlords. And while it has been extended, it cannot go on forever. They absolutely need to get paid. I very much feel for landlords that are in that position. I also have a lot of constituents that face eviction and forms of a variety of factors that are putting an immense amount of pressure on the housing inventory that we have. So I'm excited about the process. I'm excited about taking it slow to make the amendments that make this a piece of legislation that is effective, that we feel confident in. I felt that we needed another month to do that at least. And I'm very open to feedback, whether here or in person. Again, my hope is to do most of that work amending the law through the Economic Development, Housing and Transportation Committee. But I have immense respect for the work that everyone here does in Laws and Rules, and I realize it's a significant piece of legislation from a standpoint that pertains to this committee. So I appreciate the floor, and I'll take your lead, Chairwoman Bartels, if we should discuss it further tonight, or if we can, defer to the Economic Development meeting.
Let me just ask members, does anyone have anything, any questions that they'd like to raise right now in committee? I do think economic development is the place for it to work through as the committee of original jurisdiction, but since it will be on our agenda, if anyone has any issues that they'd like to raise right now, we can open the floor to that.
Not at the moment.
Okay. All right, thank you. So we don't have to take action on it, but thank you for being here, Legislator Uchtdahl. And again, I want to encourage members to read through it. And if you have questions or concerns, to reach out to Legislator Uchtdahl directly with them, ideally in advance of the next Economic Development Committee meeting.
And I believe the next, just to give everyone a heads up, I believe the next Economic Development Committee meeting, I don't know if this is going to change with Zoom, but it is gonna potentially, right now it's scheduled for a Thursday night, which is a bit uncommon. So just to give everyone a heads up, I think the plan is to do it at Bearsville at the theater, but I don't know what will happen, but right now it is on the schedule for a Thursday, which is uncommon. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Clerk Mahler, do you have that date in front of you? Do you know when that is?
The 7th at 6 p.m., but like Legislator Uchtdahl said, it was tentatively scheduled to be held at the Bearsville Theater, and things seem a little up in the air.
Okay.
We will get that confirmation. Legislator Cahill is on the line listening, so I'm not sure if he had an intention there, but we have a few weeks to dial that in.
Okay.
Everyone.
Hello, Mr. Cahill.
Yeah, so I haven't had any further communication as to whether or not we're going to postpone having the meeting there or not. And it's a pretty big place. Well, I guess we can wait and see how things go. I don't know if we start having everything Zoom, then obviously that one would be Zoom too. And we'll postpone having our meeting there. But either way, it's either going to be at Bearsville Theater or Zoom. And as Abe and Tracy both said, we really, in our committee, we encouraged the vice chair of the committee and the other members of the committee to go back to the rest of the legislators and please ask them to fully examine, you know, Abe's legislation and take a close look at it so we have a really good discussion about it. And anything that sticks out, we should probably get to right away, right? Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you both for being here. Okay. I asked that we put the Ulster County Ethics and Disclosure Law on the agenda. It's not on the agenda to be moved forward today, but I do want to bring it up for discussion. Given that Legislator Runk isn't here, I will reach out to him directly on this. A tremendous amount of work was done on this in terms of proposed amendments. There was a long, long back and forth and many discussions, and I think it's worthy of bringing it back up and considering both the work that was already done, and now given the distance, we can look and see if there's anything else that needs adjustment. I also, and I'm not sure who to bring this to, but Board of Ethics is under this committee's purview in terms of discussion, which is another reason why that ethics law is in this committee. But my understanding is that the Board of Ethics is not currently meeting and has not been meeting. And I just want to raise that as an issue of concern. It's come up in multiple instances, including an informal committee that I'm a member of, the Zero Waste Committee. We're looking for feedback on an issue, and we're unable to get any official ruling or opinion from the Board of Ethics because, again, I'm hearing secondhand that they are not meeting. So I don't know, Deputy Executive Ryder, is that something that you or Deputy Executive Milgram, who is it? Deputy Executive Milgram, is that your purview? Maybe you could speak to the current status.
Well, neither of us have a purview, but I know John has an at least conversation that he's had with the chair. He can talk about, and I can talk about county attorney, but I'll let Great. John go first.
Thank you.
Yeah, just as obviously not aware of any specifics that go to the committee, but I did run into the chair the other day and did ask that he get in touch with our, because I had heard anecdotally that there were issues about not hearing what was going on with certain mailings that were going or certain correspondence that was getting to the chair or the actual committee. He did confirm that he's been receiving them and checking the special email that was set up for them, which goes directly to him. And I did ask him, and he seemed very agreeable to work with with Clint's office to make sure that the statutory requirements and meetings and action is held shortly. So this was just this week. I imagine within the last few days, he's potentially had the chance to, if not within the next few days, to reach out to Clint's office and set up whatever meetings are necessary for meeting the requirements.
Okay.
And as far as the office of the county attorney, their involvement is really just to get an administrative hearing officer if the board needs that. We've tried to put a separation between the county executive's office and the Board of Ethics. So in the past, a member of the county executive's office staffed the Board of Ethics and did the minutes and all that. And that in this administration has ceased. I will say I'm not really sure who they have staffing them. But if we receive a complaint, which we sometimes do, we make sure that it's sealed, put it in kind of a interoffice mail and get it to the board. We also encourage people to send complaints via email. As John said, I set up an email box just for the board.
And just to reiterate on that, that was at the suggestion of our controller. It was a good suggestion. It was put on the website. So now NIS worked with the chair to ensure that it would bounce directly to his personal or his office email, whatever email he proposed. I do also anticipate that council's office would work with the committee to ensure any meeting law requirements are met and give advice according to that. But that's it.
Comptroller Gallagher.
Yeah, I sought a preemptive opinion of the ethics board with regard to taking a pro bono case. And I submitted that in April, and it took over 4 months to get an opinion. In fact, the case was almost a conclusion. So they did not appear to be meeting regularly. And I did identify that the only contact point was through an email or through the county executive's office, no email option. I also just want to note that if there is a discussion of the ethics law, and I wasn't here last time, we internally in the controller's office have a lot of thoughts about that. I did notice in the 2018 draft, the elimination of the ability of county employees to buy property through the auction process was struck. And I just want to note that many other counties in New York State do bar certain classes of employees from participating. So I'm sure we'll have a fuller discussion of that and many other issues, but that is one thing that jumped out to me right away. I would not like to see that language struck. It could be tightened or changed. Thank you.
Yes, I mean, on the merits of the discussion, what I'm gonna ask that the committee do, and Comptroller Gallagher, your office could also look at the law and the changes that were proposed in 18 and 19 in detail, and then probably we'll schedule a special meeting to go over this. It's dense, but I think it's really needed. The update is needed. I'll get you in one moment. But as to the ethics board, I'm happy to hear that they're going to be fulfilling their statutory requirements in terms of meetings. Again, in the zero waste committee, my understanding is that the then member that was looking for an advisory opinion still has not received an advisory opinion. And I believe that request went out a minimum of 6 months ago, but it could have been longer. And I've also heard anecdotally of opinions being given by one member of the ethics board in the absence of meetings, just one member saying, okay, here's my opinion on that, which is not really the same as an ethics board meeting. So it just concerns me that we have an ethics board that's meeting statutory requirements, and there is a place for concerns both in terms of requests for advisory opinions and complaints to be. So I will reach out to you, Deputy Executive Milgram, if you're the correct person to be reaching out to on the subject to follow up.
Perfect.
Comptroller Gallagher.
I just have a quick process question. And if there's somebody that you recommend that I bring this to, I'm happy to do that. Under the current ethics law, when disclosure paperwork is filed by each employee, is there anyone that reviews that paperwork or compares entities named in that paperwork against contractors of the county?
I think it goes directly to the legislature, and then it goes from there to the ethics board. So
I know the legislature does review them. We did on a few documents. I know some staff members were asked to amend because their county salary wasn't included in total income or outside income, which was a kind of an odd question, but it was reviewed by the legislature, I think the clerk's office.
I'll follow up on my question with the clerk. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks.
Okay, does anyone else have any other questions, concerns on this subject? Okay, any old business that anyone would like to bring up? Any new business? Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move. Second.
Okay, moved by Legislator Guevaras and seconded by Legislator Roberts. Welcome, Legislator Archer. All those in favor of adjourning? Okay, thank you all very, very much. 7:07, meeting is adjourned. And